This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. We bridge gaps, form community, and make places of meaning by telling stories to each other. That's what Cincinnati's Cincy Stories is all about. Listen to a sliver of Antonio's story.
Any conflicts or problems I got in my life, they seem to disappear whenever I dance on stage. My name is Antonio, and I live right up in Avondale on the corner of Fred Shuttlesworth and Reading.
We are joined today by the co-founder and executive director of Cincy Stories, Sean Braley, as well as the co-founder and creative director, Chris Ashwell. Joining them is Antonio White, who you just heard, an Avondale ballet dancer. And they're all here today to talk about the Cincy Stories that have focused recently on the Avondale area. So we're going to sort of pursue that. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Dan.
Sean, let's just start out, just so people who don't know much about Cincy Stories, how do you bring people together? How do you tease out stories that you want to or you think you might want to pursue?
Yeah, so we this project in Avondale is part of a larger project that we do where we go to neighborhoods and we spend a year in a neighborhood. And so while we're there for that year, we take the first few months just to listen to the community, meet people, community leaders, go to community council meetings, those types of things. But then after a few months, we open what we call a story gallery. Mm-hmm. And that story gallery is sort of a neighborhood living room, a space that's comfortable, no barriers, that we invite the community in, very, very much like a living room, but on the walls are stories. So you can watch videos that we've made, you can pick up a phone and listen to stories. And all of those stories are community residents. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a story booth in there that folks can tell their story into to be put on those walls and on those phones and stuff. But the space, in the space, we'll throw events, we'll grill out, we'll hang out. That's actually how we met Antonio, was we were grilling out one day, and he just was happened to be walking by and saw that we had free food.
And smelled what was cooking. That's, yeah, probably got some reporters in on that, too. So, Chris, what's the range of ways that you communicate the stories that you collect and you develop?
Yeah, so we have multiple arms to that side of things. We started off with live storytelling events. So we would invite members of the community to come out, share a 15-minute story from their life. Could be about anything. No limits or kind of themes to those. Then we started doing short documentaries, internet deliverable kind of, 2 to 5 minute short stories about folks. And then we also started doing audio stories. So we have a podcast and a radio program on, and we will share stories through that. So we share them through audio, through video, and through live. Okay. Stories. And also just a lot of really the magic that happens doesn't get captured in the story galleries. So we don't record everything that happens in the story galleries, but that's really a place that people can share stories with one another in person.
Yeah, but obviously sometimes you stumble into a story and then you want to develop it, and then you can go out and produce.
Exactly.
And give it some production values, which is exactly what happened with Antonio White, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We cast a very wide net, and then we can kind of find the stories that we think are going to be most impactful and tell them in the most impactful way.
And Antonio, I want to play just a little bit more from the trailer about your story, and then we'll come back and talk.
Okay. When I first asked my mom, it was about like when I was like maybe about 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to dance. I told her, and she told me that like it was too expensive. And at the time, we didn't have a stable home to call ours. I remember like when we first got kicked out of our like, I think it was like our second or third apartment. But I love my mom. No matter how many mistakes or no matter what happened back then, I'ma always love her and take care of her. But eventually, I moved in with a family who gave me an opportunity to get back in school. I was around 14 to 15 years old. They asked me what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be a ballet dancer. When I first asked my mom, it was about like when I was like maybe about 8 or 9 years old. I wanted to dance. I told her. And she told me that like it was too expensive, and at the time we didn't have a stable home to call ours. I remember like when we first got kicked out of our like I think it was like our second or third apartment. But I love my mom. No matter how many mistakes or no matter what happened back then, I'ma always love her and take care of her. But eventually, I moved in with a family who gave me an opportunity to get back in school. I was around 14 to 15 years old. They asked me what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be a ballet dancer.
You wanted to be a ballet dancer.
Yes,
you
sir.
Knew that. You told your mom that. You told the family that you ended up with that.
Yes, sir.
How do you, I mean, I could imagine you saying, I'm fascinated by dance.
Mm-hmm.
Why ballet?
I saw it on TV, and from there, I just knew I wanted to do it. Like, I wanted to try it out. I just wanted to do it.
Do you do other forms of dance,
yes,
too?
Yes, sir. I do modern, I do character, and I do hip-hop.
Okay. So, but it's ballet that touches you most?
Yes, sir.
It's the form that you find you express yourself the best?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Well, that's really... So, how did you then pursue it? Because ballet is one of those things. Your mother was right. It's expensive to get all that training.
Yes.
So, how did you pursue your interest in ballet?
When I first...
So, this was 8 or 9 when you first were saying...
I wanted to do it and stuff like that.
How old are you now?
I'm 21.
Okay. So, there you go. A little bit more than a decade. So, how have you pursued it?
Well, I moved in. I went to church for a long time. It's a church over in Warner Hills called Church of Brethren, right on the corner of Nassau and St. James. I've been going there since I was 10, 9 or 10. I've grew into that church, and I've just been going there for a long time. But make a long story short, it was a family there, and they saw I was going through, and they was like, you're a good person. I want to help you out. So I moved in, and that's when I got back in school and stuff like that. So they was like, you want to do ballet? So they took me down to Cincinnati Ballet, and I took a class there, and then the class went to like 3 or 4, and it just kept going on and on. And I danced, and I worked so hard there, and I loved it so much that I got a 50% merit scholarship within a year. And
at Cincinnati Ballet.
At Cincinnati Ballet, and that's where it all started.
And are you still with them? Is that still where you do most of your work?
No, sir. I dance over at a private ballet company in Oakley called De La Dance Center.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that the company that you perform through?
Yes, sir.
And where do you perform?
At the center. At the company.
Okay.
You perform there.
So, well, I'll come back to that in a minute. So, Sean, Chris, tell us about what you did. You ran into Antonio, you enticed him in with grilling, and then you found out a little bit about his story. What have you done with his story? And there's going to be something that's coming up here where people can see it for themselves, right?
excuse me. Yeah. So we, when we heard that story, you know, it was pretty much instantly that we knew that that was a story that we wanted to capture and really dive into. And mm-hmm. And put that kind of production behind. And so we worked with him. We wanted to get some shots of him dancing on stage. And so we went to a theater. We actually, the Woodward Theater in OTR, where we have our live events, let us use their stage just to film him dancing. And he's just an amazing dancer, beautiful dancer.
And that comes through in the film.
Absolutely, yeah. And then we wanted to kind of contrast that with the fact that how hard he works and kind of the grittier side of what's pushing him to express himself through dance. So we just got shots of him, kind of his journey. He spends, man, you can tell me how many hours a day practicing?
Like a lot. I go from 9:30 to 11. I get a 30-minute break from 11:30 to 2. Then I got another class at 4:30 to 6:15. And then sometimes I got another class after that, like 7:30 to 8:45.
All day. Yeah. And so we just wanted to spend some time with him and kind of show that journey of like the beauty is the end outcome, but everything that he's going through and persevering through without a lot of resources. You know, he rides the bus every day to and from practice and has to wake up very early to do that. We just wanted to kind of show the contrast between those two different sides of his life.
Who do you hope sees that video? Now, the way I set this up was you're trying to build community and neighborhoods and have people actually know each other's stories. But clearly, once it's in the form that you've turned this into, in Antonio's story, people who don't live in Avondale, people who don't have any reason to necessarily interact with Antonio, are going to see this too. So what do you hope people who you live close to, and maybe people who live someplace far away on the other side of the city or in another county, what do you hope they get out of this? What do you think they would get out of this?
That anything is possible, really, honestly. It's just about if you really determined to do it, if you really want to do it. Like, you can get anything is possible. Anything is not possible. Like, I love my life, and I love it regardless of what I'm going through, and I'm making it happen regardless each and every day. But it's just taking advantage of the opportunities that you get and that are put in your face. But anything is possible, no matter what you're going through or no matter your circumstance.
Sean, do you want to bring people
from
the neighborhood around to watch this together?
Absolutely. So this Friday, we're doing something we call the Avondale People's Celebration. So every time we go to a community, and this is our third time that we've opened one of these story galleries and worked in neighborhoods. Every time we do that, we end the project with a celebration of the stories that we heard. And so Antonio's is one of those. We have a number of others.
You take the stories back to their roots.
Yeah, yeah. And we hope that those stories are, there's twofold of what we can get out of those stories or what can happen through those stories. Is one, the people in the community can learn to listen to one another's stories better and also feel an empowerment, like our stories are worth being heard. No matter if I grew up and was homeless, or no matter if I am the mayor or anybody else, we've gotten those stories as well in other neighborhoods. But on the outside of the neighborhood, if they're on our website or on our Facebook and watching these stories, Avondale gets a lot of press or a lot of media in the news around crime and around these other things. And we want to show them, like, that's not the whole story that's happening.
It also gets branded just by the big businesses that are there, the hospitals and the zoo and things like that. And we want to help kind of balance that branding and remind people that these, that Avondale and any neighborhood really is the people, not the things that are necessarily in it.
Well, you shared with us another story from Avondale that we want to play a segment of that, because it's a very different kind of story.
Yeah.
It's sort of harder hitting. Let's take a listen to that, and then we'll talk about the person involved and this kind of story and why you did this one.
First thing I do is try to shut the door. But when I try to shut the door, they kicked it in. And they're like, where the money at? Where the dope at? I said, I don't have any. I got my kids in the other room. I have my sister in the other room. I told them, I don't have it. And as soon as I said that the first time, they shot me in the leg. Said, tell me where the money at. I told him, I ain't got it. So he shot me again in the hip. By that time, my kids started crying and I heard them. One of the guys said, the kids in the room, bro. The kids is in the room. And only thing I thought in my mind at that time was trying to stop them from going in the back to my children's room. So I said that, I'll take you to get the money. And they said, nah, it's too late. So I put my hands up like this. When I put my hands up, a bullet went through my left hand and came out right here. So when they shot in the hand, they said, he dead, bro, he dead. And they ran up out of here.
Very different story.
Yeah.
This is Kenyatta Shabazz telling that story. So why pursue this story?
So Shabazz, he was somebody that also came in to our story gallery when we were grilling out. And he was, like, so excited about it.
He became our best customer for sure.
Yeah.
He was in constantly.
Yeah, he wanted to help every time he came in. So he would grill out for us, and he would call people over that were just walking down the street. But we were hanging out. And in our story gallery, we have cards in there, story cards that have prompts on them for stories. And so he picked one up, and it was just us, Chris and I, and Shabazz and his brother. And he picked one up that said, tell me a story about the bravest moment of your life. And he tells us this story. And it's a heavy story, but it was beautiful, too, because he doesn't just end it there and go right back into a life of drugs. He decides, he uses that moment as a decisive moment. Like, I had to protect my kids. That was why it was brave. I was willing to get shot for my children, my family. But what am I going to do with the rest of my life now? And so we wanted to pursue this story because it showed the reality of some of the other pieces of what's happening in this community, but also that the people that are experiencing these stories deserve to be heard just as much as anyone else.
Krista, take a while for Shabazz to feel ready to tell you.
So typically,
did he have to come to trust you two?
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, the reason that we do these story galleries is for a lot of reasons. But for us, if we went knocking door to door through Avondale and say, tell us some story, tell me a story, you know, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work out, you know. And so we need a place that people can come in and feel comfortable. We kind of call it a neighborhood living room. So it takes that kind of environment, I think, for people to really begin to realize that we don't have an agenda. We've had people in the past in some of our neighborhoods, like in Walnut Hills in particular, after we gained some trust with some community members there who were drug dealers and things like that. They told us, we thought you guys were cops. We thought that Cincy Stories was an elaborate sting operation to find out what was going down in the
front
streets.
Front operation.
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of laughed at that, but then we realized, like, you know, Sean and I don't have the life background that would give us that kind of level of mistrust. And so it was at first funny to us that people would think that we were cops, but then it was kind of sobering to realize that that lack of trust is there. And so with Shabazz, he kind of got it right away, though. I mean, it did take a little bit of, you know, it wasn't like he walked through the door and told us that story right off the bat, but he got so excited to share his stories. We have a story booth that's kind of automated that you can go and share stories in. And I have no idea, maybe 20 stories. I'm not exaggerating. He came in, I came in one day and he was just kind of pacing back and forth in the story gallery. I said, Shabazz, what's going on, man? And he said, I got to figure out some more stories to tell. And so he shared, and this is not the defining story of his life necessarily, but we definitely recognize it as a story of something that, you know, he wanted to share with the community.
I think when you said that, I think of Stokely Carmichael's Soul on Ice, and on the very first page, he said while he was in prison, he wrote to save himself. It sounds to me like Shabazz needed to tell his story in order to save himself, and that was part of the process. Antonio, you're a resident of Avondale.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've heard that story clip before.
No, sir.
You didn't. The way you were listening to it, I didn't think you had. What was your reaction to that?
For him to even just discuss that kind of that situation, like, and to be willing to share it, like, it's powerful. It's very powerful, but I think it's very interesting, and it still goes to show, like, you can. It's all about. I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, it's just a lot to handle for a person.
Well, what I was thinking of was when you played that. Is that you were talking about with Antonio's story, trying to broaden out people's understanding of what this particular community that you've been working in recently, Avondale, is all about. You were trying to offer a variety of stories, not just what ends up on the evening newscast. But here, this is a story that isn't...
It could reinforce absolutely
some imagery for people. And especially if they don't hear the rest of the story, so to speak. So
it is. It's one of those things where when we go to neighborhoods, we're not here to only share the positive stories. We do want it to be balanced and we want it to be authentic. And when it comes to a story like this, it would be, I think, disingenuous of us not to cover some stories like this in Avondale, because when what you see on the news, they're not making those stories up. The problem is that if you hear Shabazz's story through the news, all you hear is shooting in Avondale. That's all you hear is that headline, or that's all you really
read. Shot three times. Here's the address. It's at the hospital.
Right. And that's all you're going to get from that story. Hopefully somebody hearing an entire perspective on a story like that will help them understand circumstances for individuals, why they might, you know, he talks about the circumstances that brought him to that moment. And he talks about how that situation got him out of those circumstances. We feel like we can't ignore particular topics in neighborhoods. We just want to make sure that we handle them with as much, you know,
dignity
as possible.
Yeah.
Sean, with the Shabazz story, mm-hmm. did you do the same thing with that that you did with Antonio's story in terms of focusing on it, making it sort of a mini doc, and
yeah.
and so you've turned that into a video story as well with all the investment in it.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing when you see the video is he's with his kids and he's taking them to the park and he's enjoying an afternoon with his kids. And after he shared his story on camera with us, you know, he was so excited about it. And he was just thanking us. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, tooting our own horn. But he was saying, I got to do this and have my kids be highlighted. He's a family man at heart. And that's the thing that I also want to highlight with Shabazz's story is that somebody who has been involved in dealing drugs or doing drugs or anything, they also are human beings. And their stories are also, they have value and worth and are important. And so in listening to his story, even though it does share some of those gritty elements and could reinforce some of the stereotypes of the community, I hope that when people see it, that they see the humanity in him more than they see the statistics or whatever.
Both from a reporter's point of view, I mean, I think the news misses that part completely. And we've just finished an election cycle where people are used as pawns, really. Mm-hmm. People aren't really interested in the human side.
Yeah.
They're interested in using the stories for their own interest. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's kind of interesting there. Before we run out of time, Antonio, I want to come back to you.
Okay.
So what's the future?
The future, I just plan on just to keep working hard. Just keep working as hard as I can and just to branch out to many other dancers and maybe even go visit places and just keep getting my story out there. And just to show other people and other young men like myself and my age that anything is possible. You can still do it. It's not too late to start.
Well, very good. Thank you for being here. Thank you all three. And this has been Cincinnati Edition on WVXU.
Tonight belongs to the Republicans.
From the governor's mansion on down, a red wave sweeps Ohio's statewide ballot. In Cincinnati City Hall, big changes coming. Chabot keeps his House seat. And the first African-American woman pulls off an upset for Hamilton County Commission. The local election roundup plus top news stories Friday on Cincinnati Edition at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.